Morning Tech Show.
Good evening and welcome to the October 29th version of the Linux Link Tech Show. We're going to get started here in just a second, but first, for those who have just connected or are in the process of connecting, feel free to jump on our chat server. The address is thelinuxlink.net and then join Tech Show. While people are jumping on the chat server, I'm going to play our promo.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
All right, welcome back to the Tech Show. My name is Dan Washko, and I'm ecstatic to be here 2 days before Halloween. We got an action-packed show tonight. Sitting across from me is the Sultan of Scripts, Link Fezzenden himself.
Hey, hey.
And also in the studio tonight is the third member of the Tech Show. Actually, he was just inducted into the Tech Show this week. The awesome Alan Metzler.
That's right.
Hello, all.
Welcome, Alan.
You heard that little crackle. That was Alan turning his microphone on. I think we need to get Alan a microphone stand.
Oh, yeah. Alan yeah, has
I've got to go out and buy one, yes.
He's been officially inducted now into the Tech Show Hall of Flame.
Yeah, I thought it would be important to put him on there because he's been here except for that one day when he was, quote, sick.
Come on, he still helped out. He was our representative in the on the IRC chat room.
That's right. I was in the field.
Between you
in the field,
your
yeah.
wife and him. In the field. But we're probably going to have to rearrange the room again soon to make more space for him.
Oh, yeah.
And anybody out there who's listening, if you'd like to come in, be a guest on the show, hang out, you're always welcome. We still have about another 3 or 4 feet of space.
We could always start hanging people from the ceiling, too, right?
That's right. We could just break down the wall over there. All right. Link, anything new for you this week?
Project.
Anything new for me this week? Well, run right into the news, huh? Boy, there's all kinds of new things going on this week, I guess. Quick stuff in the news. First of all, let me preface this by saying that I did have to go fix my father-in-law's computer again because he runs Windows. And as we were bantering back and forth in email about him running Windows and how horrible that was, and, you know, that was the reason why I had to come over and fix his computer once a month, I came across this really cool article, and I think I found it in Slashdot. However, I'm not entirely sure. I think this is what it is, though. It's a Slashdot article that says that the Army is drastically simplifying the makeup of its high-tech soldier ensemble, and easier-to-use National Defense Reports Excuse me. Well, I don't even know what I'm reading anymore. It says the Army is drastically simplifying the makeup of its high-tech soldier ensemble, the Land Warrior, in an effort to make the systems less prone to failures and easier to use. National Defense reports that after the last version of Land Warrior failed reliability tests earlier this year, the Army switched gears and decided to make the system less complex and modify the hardware to make it compatible with the new and controversial Stryker infantry vehicle. Changes include a more simplified data bus and a Linux-based operating system as opposed to Windows. Evidence shows that Linux is more stable. We are moving in general to where the Army is going, to Linux-based OS, says the program's manager, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Gallup. And I just thought that was really hysterical because now we finally, we have all these states now, like, what is it, Maryland now, that's boycotting Microsoft software, like, statewide for their government agencies. And now we have the Army that's, like, joining hands with them, and it's going to move to something other than Microsoft because of its reliability issues. And I think that speaks volumes, you know, if people would just give that a little precedence before they go out and spend the next $300 paycheck on the version of XP that they need or whatever.
That goes hand in hand with SCO claiming that the GPL violates the Constitution of the United States. How do you rectify that one? I guess the Army paid their SCO license, didn't they?
That must be it.
Anything else there this week, Link? How'd your dad's computer go?
Well, you know what? I had to, I'm not entirely sure what happened with it. I went over there and looked at it, and it would not log all the way in.
Would not, like could it, not boot.
Yeah, would not, could not, should not boot. It wouldn't log all the way in. It would get far enough to log his user in, and then, like, the Explorer would never start. So all of his icons and his desktop never came up and all that happy business. And the only good part about it is he happens to run Windows 2000, so I could bring up the Task Manager and actually start a program through the Task Manager. So I started the command shell and then looked around, and his home directory, the root of his home directory, had an explorer.exe file in it that obviously was horking things up and making it not work. So, and I have no idea how they got there, whether it's somebody hacked their way in and put it in to try and do something, or he copied a file from somewhere and messed it up or what. But as soon as I removed that and got everything pointed to the right explorer.exe, logged right in, and was good to go. But the mere fact that I needed to go over there and fix that computer at the time that I did really irritated me to begin with.
Fun. So your daddy wrecks the Windows 2000 again.
That's right.
Alan, what's up with you? Get the microphone. It should be right there.
Sorry, I've got to grab the microphone and turn it on. Not a whole lot. The nail that worked, same as Link here. So haven't had a lot to do.
That's it?
All right, that's it.
Short and sweet, man.
Short and sweet, but I did install Slackware since I'm part of the crew now. I must run Slackware.
Alan must run Slackware.
Patrick has just joined us.
Wow. We got all kinds of action going on today. It's a bit we really don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, what's new from me? OS 10.3.
Panther.
Wonderful, yeah, wonderful box it came in, nice and black, came on Friday. It's been sitting on my table since then. I can't install it until I get some things squared away at work. There's too much at stake, and I don't want to jeopardize losing.
Well, you have to make sure that you let everybody on the tech show know how it goes when you install it, because I have heard a lot of horror stories about Panther so far, a lot of dissatisfied customers, so to speak.
Well,
I really wouldn't know, though, since I still don't have my Macintosh. Still don't have my Macintosh, hon.
I checked out the software compatibility for my Macromedia studio. I just got the newest version today, 2004. It looks really beautiful, and it runs great. What's nice about the install with that, though, is it installed itself in files named 2004, whatever the product was, so it didn't mess up with my current install of Studio MX. So I can run both of them side by side. It's really sweet. That was a nice little bit of security. Apparently, ThinkWorks, as well as a lot of the current open source software that's been ported over.
That's great, but what is Fink?
Fink is a utility kind of like apt-get for the OS X Darwin ports packages, where you could just type Fink install or Fink upgrade. And you can still use apt-get, too. apt-get install, apt-get upgrade. Nice little package management system that'll either do packages or just like the ports on NetBSD or BSD.
That's kind of cool.
It is. It is. I've been keeping myself up to date with the GIMP over there for OS X, and I'm really concerned about whether Panther's going to jeopardize that, but apparently it's not going to. So I just need a few more days. I'm thinking maybe Thanksgiving holiday. I'll have a nice little break there.
Wow. You know, speaking of BSD, I just read today that FreeBSD released its 4.9 distribution. Interesting piece of news, right?
Yeah, excellent.
I can't figure out why, though. I need some kind of BSD person to... We probably should have gotten Flash on the show. I need some BSD person to tell me exactly why they released a 4.9 version of BSD. It looks like everybody says it's really cool, some kind of cool thing. And to be honest, I have not used FreeBSD since 4.5, I believe. But I am absolutely positive that a few weeks ago I saw them releasing version 5.0. So I don't know if this is like 5.0 has some different feature sets or something like that, and the 4.9 is the end of the 4.x series or something like that.
4.9.1. 4.9.2.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, Flash would know. And speaking of Flash, he would like us to have the next LV Lug meeting at Moravian College.
We could do that.
And he wants us to do desktop stuff because he wants to bring some users or people over at Moravian.
We could do that, Flash, and here's your thing. If you'd like us to do that, then you have to let us know that you heard this on the tech show. Ha ha.
All right. Alan, do you have anything to add about FreeBSD? Alan, do you have anything to add at all? This is your chance. Last chance to talk for the rest of the time.
Alan, you use
NetBSD. Oh, my God.
You use NetBSD, yeah. Right?
I have used it, yeah.
I use NetBSD, too.
I don't have it on anything right now. But
NetBSD
yeah,
is really, really cool.
It was a neat program. I liked it. Unfortunately, like I said, I don't have it running on anything right now because my test machine had to go back to a evil Windows box for my wife.
Ooh.
She needed it for a program that she does. But
I don't know, Alan. Between your wife using Windows and Link's wife using Hotmail, we got a real problem going on here.
I tell you what, man.
Well, thank you. It doesn't come on very often. Only when she sells baskets, and it's only used for that. Otherwise, she has an account on the Linux box here.
Cool.
Yeah. We forced her over to using it.
That's what I need to do. I need to move my wife's email over here to.
Since
to
I
Linux
had
Link.
To. Unblock Hotmail. I'm getting Hotmail. Spam again.
Are you really?
Hotmail account.
We'll
like every day, I'm getting a piece of spam.
We'll have to give
one piece of spam a day from a Hotmail account, just so you can read your wife's mail. All right. You know what, Link? Today, I ran out for lunch, driving down the road, and I passed by Allentown Business School. Have you seen their new campus
Say
yet?
Say it's not so.
Hear me out. I drove past there, and I saw there was a bunch of guys outside playing football. And it reminded me of my time at Penn State. Now, I went to Penn State Allentown campus to begin with, because technically I never applied to Penn State.
Okay.
I applied to Temple, and I got into Temple. But it was my senior year was the year they were having the riots down there. My dad was really iffy, and I wasn't kind of lax to ask about what I wanted to do with my life. And the last day of school, the guidance counselor said, hey, you want to go to Penn State? I said, sure, and he got me in, which was nice of him, but they had a deal in the area where they couldn't have any science labs. And the trade-off was that they were able to use the science labs like LTRIC and Cedar Crest and everything, so we'd have to go over there, Cedar Crest, and for science and for biology, actually, I had. And we used to play football outside the campus, and it got me thinking, you know, Allentown Business School, they got a really nice campus now over there. And it gets itself a bad rap, I think. And I was thinking about the bad rap that Allentown Business School gets. And I was thinking about the type of curriculum that they offer. And I think that that curriculum is fairly new. The land technology, now, not fairly new for Allentown Business School. But I know when I was going to Penn State, they didn't have a land technology type curriculum. And Northampton County Community College and LTRIC basically added that stuff a few years ago. Mm-hmm. It was mainly computer science or computer engineering. And people, you go in there, you graduate, you get yourself a degree in programming, and nobody really specialized in land technology or system administration. And personally, you know, I know when we get a boatload of applications, for instance, we just had a job in the paper advertised for a systems technician at work, and we got a lot of applications, and the first thing that comes out is, oh, we got to weed out the people or look for the people who went to Allentown Business School. And I don't know. I don't think they deserve that kind of rap. My opinion with Allentown Business School, and it would be the same for LTRIC or Northampton County Community College, because they offer basically the same curriculum. I think the downside with the Allentown Business School is you hear about it on the radio more, about come on in, get your MCSE, which you don't get an MCSE or anything, any kind of certification through them, nor do you get that throughout LTRIC or the other community colleges. But you get the classes that will prepare you for it. You still have to take the exams yourself. But they bill it like you get this certificate and you're good to go. You're going to be waltzing into a $60,000 a year job. And that just isn't going to happen now, is it?
No. Not around here. You might be waltzing yourself into a Burger King, though. I hear they're hiring. Probably not for your intended occupation either. You know, mostly for flipping burgers.
Yeah, so I think ABS kind of gets a bad rap, and the students and everything. And I like education for education itself, so I would personally rather go to a degree program because I like all that extra fun stuff. You know, my psychology degree helped me a whole lot. And the English, all the English and literature I took. But I really loved it. But anyway, I think if anybody, it's better than nothing. You know what I mean? It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
But it's probably not better than experience. Now, Alan's a graduate of Allentown Business School. Right, Alan? Yep, pick up the microphone.
Pick up the microphone again. No, actually, I'm not. Yeah. I have DeVry a long time ago.
DeVry.
That's DeVry. 20, hey, I'm
20
a,
years ago. Was DeVry
I'm a
for
DeVry
me.
Attendee myself.
Were you guys going at the same time?
You know what? I could not possibly recognize anybody I was going to school
I have trouble remembering when it was.
Your whole story started out with, I passed these guys playing football, and that reminded me of college. The problem that I have with that is that my similar story would be, I passed these drunk drug users laying on the side of the road, and it reminded me of my time at DeVry. I have a great deal of respect for anybody who can make it all the way through college. I just can't see anybody actually getting through that school, you know.
Well, I did the night school, the 2-year night course.
The 2-year night course
on it. And that's, I mean, cool. It was all right. It's not what I'm doing for a living now. I actually found out, I did the electronics degree.
Oh, cool.
On it, and I actually found out that I liked it more as a hobby than as a job. So I sort of gave it up and went back into computers and stuff and CAD work. But
yeah. Well, I did their computer systems. I can't even remember what it was called. It was so long ago. It basically is their computer course that they had.
Okay, yeah.
And tested out of my first two trimesters there and didn't learn anything, and they sucked up all my money, and I went partying, and that was about it for that.
No, I did the partying part too. But
so basically, I held my dean's list position, my dean's list grade point average through like 2 years of solid beer partying.
Well, see, it wasn't a total loss then.
No, it wasn't. Not at all. I met my wife there too. I was almost her peer advisor, as a matter of fact.
Is that a good or a bad thing? Isn't that a conflict of interest?
At this point, I don't think it would be a conflict. Maybe at that point, but it probably was a good thing that I was not her peer advisor.
Wow.
A slow night tonight.
That's not, you know, we have a whole lot of stuff we need to cover, but I'm giving Link the opportunity to talk.
To interject my nothingness into the conversation.
To flush out his participation this week. And you know what? Actually, this is probably a great topic for Link. We were going to discuss last week how we do the tech show. And
we
have some pictures posted up on our website.
We were.
Well, we're going to do that this week.
Yes.
Yes, yes. We are.
Do you want to talk about it now?
That's the introduction there, man. I opened the door for you. Woo-hoo! You step in.
How do we do the tech show, this thing that you're listening to now? Yeah, woohoo! Better late than never. Who cares, right?
You don't have to watch the sound effects play. You can keep talking.
Audio died. Uh-oh.
Audio died for everybody?
Come on, Link, wake up. Are we still on broadcasting? Anybody?
Yeah,
maybe?
We're still on.
Maybe? Okay, we're still on. Anyway, how we do the tech show. Basically, we have some links on our links page.
Resources section.
On our resources. Thank you very much, Dan. He's right on the ball today. We have some links on our resources section that will point you to some pictures and things like that. You can check out.
Oh, I thought you meant actually the resources of the software and stuff we're using. No, the picture pages
are on the picture page. Okay.
But the link's on the resources page, too.
There's a picture page. You can check out some of the equipment we use. And there's a resources page that point to some of the software that we use. Basically, what we did was we all got together and harassed Alan, and Alan saved us and brought a five-port microphone mixer.
And thank you, Alan.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, sound effect.
No problem. Wait, we have to have sound effect. There we go.
Turn it up,
yeah, so that we can hear the sound effect. We started this show, and we came across a distribution of Linux called Dynabolic, which is pretty cool. And again, you can find the links for these on the resource page. Now, this Dynabolic distribution comes on a CD-ROM, and it runs only on a CD-ROM. You don't need to install it to your hard drive or anything like that. And it comes with a whole bunch of really cool audio tools that will let you broadcast an audio stream to a streaming server. And now, Dan just happened, off chance, to have... what do you have, an Icecast, right?
Yeah, we set that up a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we set it up a couple of years ago to play with it. We have Icecast installed on the Linux Link server. And that's where we actually broadcast it to, which is rebroadcast. The stream is rebroadcast from there. And it's neat how things came together. I mean, you know, we came here with a couple of, intending to do our first show with a couple of scribble notes and some really broken... ratty PC microphones, and you know the little stick microphones that you see.
It was almost a show that didn't happen.
Right, the first show almost didn't happen, and we started to play with these things. Figured, we'll just plug them into the. Well, we had a little Y splitter. We'll plug them into the back of the sound card, and we'll just talk along, and everything will be great. We plugged them in, and basically we didn't get any sound, and we played with it for a little while, and we got really crappy sound, and then we decided that we had better get some different mics going on, and Alan showed up and saved us with this five-port mixer, this old Radio Shack 5-port mixer that we're still using. It works awesome. And we got some, after sending Alan running around all over creation, we finally got some regular quarter-inch mics that we're using now that seem to work pretty well. And, I mean, along the way, we had some really cruddy quarter-inch mics, and now we have cheap Radio Shack ones, which sound good. But basically, that's how we do it. And then we just jack in from week to week and spill our guts into the microphone and laugh at each other and make funny faces at the people who can't see us.
And hope we don't mess up and play an AUG and MP3 file.
That's right.
At the same time and screw everything up.
Hope we don't play two different formats at the same time so that the server crashes.
That's right. That only has happened once.
Yes.
Only once.
And this is, in all actuality, this is show 6, right? Show number 6 that we have done. This is 6 weeks of the tech show. And we have only had one time when the show has crashed in the middle of it. And that was the very first show. And I think that definitely deserves the clap.
Oh, woo-hoo. Not that clap.
Yeah, not that clap. No, the other clap.
The damn clap. Hold on. Screwed up clap sound effect. You know, I pulled
up. It's going to be a long show, man.
We pulled a Randy today, and I'm not talking about the Kramer kind.
Yeah.
That we started up, and I looked, and I was like, what the hell happened to the Muse? It's not running anymore. And, you know, we're starting it up. We're trying to connect, and it's not connecting, and I'm retyping the password, and we tried everything. And eventually, we tried a different protocol to connect with, and it connected. And I turn it up, and I'm listening. I'm like, wait a minute. We're
the stream's
talking.
Already playing, yeah.
The stream's playing. Where's that coming from? Somehow, and it must have been my daughter came in and changed
on the
desktop.
Kids.
Changed the desktop. That was on desktop 2, and it was on desktop 1. And, of course, like an idiot, I cycled through all 6 desktops before I came back to it. But just goes to show, we leave this thing running. After the show, we have this thing running back up, rebroadcasting the stream that we just finished. For a whole week, and it just goes.
Just fine, yeah.
Now, the fan sounds like it's going to blast off out of that case, but the thing keeps running.
Yeah. And speaking of shows, and the 6th show, again, this is our, you know, this is our big number 6 here, and also our premier Halloween edition. Since we have done 6 shows, I beat Dan around a little bit today, and we tried to figure out about how many times we have had our show listened to. And we figured our show has been listened to over the last 6 weeks somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 times, which is, you know, I think is really, really good for something we really never advertised outside of our lug list. You know, it's something that we haven't put a whole lot of prep time in any of this stuff either.
No.
A few well placed emails here and there, and we generally fly by the seat of our pants. And probably the reason that we have had any of the errors that we have is because we only have, you know what I mean? This is like a 3-guy operation here, and if we're all talking and chatting on the IRC, there really is no one watching the equipment. So if it runs, it runs great. You know, if it doesn't, then you know. Hopefully we catch it pretty quick. But it definitely is a testimony in itself as to what can be done using open source software if you're really interested in trying it.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes I come in and I just reach over and turn the volume up on the speaker to hear whether it's playing or not. Just going. It's going. It works. It just goes. And you can read more about our exploits with the tech show and other things on both of our blogs.
Oh, yes.
And, Alan, do you have a blog? Why not?
I had one, and then I found out I really don't have that much of an interesting life.
<That's>
I sort of gave up
on
it.
You know, that's something you find out really quickly when you do that.
So that your blog wasn't a self-esteem builder, obviously.
Obviously not, no.
It was the opposite.
I had gotten one running, and I can't even remember which one it was off the top of my head. I'd gotten running. I'd put about 4 or 5 things in it, and then, like I said, it was just one of those things that I just never got back to doing. I've been telling myself that I'm going to, but I just never go back to it.
That's a shame, Alan. I'd love to read your blog. We can link it off of our blog.
We can link it off of our. And then, you know, perhaps if, you know, we don't have content, we can just rotate it around.
we can read each other's blog.
Right. Blog.
I'll also to look into to trying to come up with enough interesting stuff to put in it.
If not, you just do what I do and you make shit up as you go along, you know? Whatever looks good for the day.
Guess what I got hit with about a week ago?
What did you get hit with?
Never thought about this before. I got hit with blog spam.
Blog spam? You mean someone posted comments to your...
Somebody has the capability, or they have the capability now. Like, the blog I use, Movable Type, is a blog that provides feedback, communication. You can post to it. Well, those type of blogs, they've written some type of script for that companies can spam those blogs. So I went on there. I was like, oh, look, somebody posted a follow-up or a comment. I'm going to get on there. And it's like, hey, your site's great. By the way, check out ours, Viagra Online, 15 or
ways to make
like
your
that.
Penis grow, yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck? And I looked over and I noticed that every single one of my posts, my blog posts, had the same comment to it.
So every one of them?
Every single one of them. They just hit it. So I found with Movable Type, there's a plugin called MT Blacklist, which you saw me have up there. And I set it up. It was really painless to set up. So now hopefully that'll prevent those things from happening. But I've been reading online. Apparently it's getting a little more prolific.
I don't understand even why anybody would want to do that. You can't possibly do anything more than piss off the owner of the blog by doing that. You know what I mean?
I don't get it either. You know,
can you imagine setting up a blog and then have somebody do their Viagra commercial or whatever on your... on your blog list, on every single comment section, and you actually going, hey, wait, I really need to renew my Viagra prescription.
I really want to buy some.
I'm going to call these guys, you know what I mean? I just can't see that being an effective marketing tool, you know?
I don't see it either, and I felt kind of violated more so than getting spam, because I'm thinking to myself, damn it, you know, this is a company that just comes waltzing in and posts it on a site that, really, I didn't give them permission to, but then again, it's a public site, and it's kind of, yeah, they do have permission, but wait, no. I didn't sign up on any list.
You need to put, like, a scumbag disclaimer at the top of your screen, you know? If you are a scumbag, please do not post to my blog.
Yeah, scumbag disclaimer. You know, actually, I wonder, if you put a scumbag disclaimer threatening... recourse, and they do that, and then we attack them with the denial of service. Can we get in trouble for that? Is that justified retaliation?
Now, here we go. Justified retaliation from a bunch of old, you know, Unix hackers. This could be a bad thing.
Yeah, well, we're going down the wrong avenue. We're supposed to be talking about blogs, not malicious revenge.
Well, I tell you what.
Bloxham was the one I was using.
Bloxham.
Yeah.
I used that. I used that right after I used NanoBlogger. Mm-hmm. And then I switched to Bloxham and then Movable Type. Bloxham was nice.
See, now I use NanoBlogger myself, which is really cool. It's just a shell script, no PHP, no none of that stuff. And the cool thing is, like, I have it set up so, you know, you can't really post comments to my blog. Because pretty much it's just a forum for me to, you know, post information that I find interesting, funny, or a way for me to vent my antisocial behavior to the world, you know?
Blossom was nice because basically all it is just a text file that you just throw in a directory.
Did it use, like, PHP and stuff like that?
No, I don't think it did.
Really?
It's just a CGI script.
Well, you have to, you know, like with Movable Type, you have to rebuild.
Right.
But you got to run the script afterwards so it rebuilds everything.
No. You have to keep it in one directory, keep all your posts in there, but then every time you open it up, it just grabs the latest set of posts.
There's two ways that you could do it. You could have it set up statically or... Dynamically.
Dynamically
grab. And if you do the static, which is the quick install they tell you about, you have to run a script or, you know, set a cron job to run that script every so often.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
You could do it dynamically where you just hit that CGI website and it gets you the latest, greatest Happy Joe Schmo. Oh, you know what? I wasn't using NanoBlogger. I was using NBlog. That's what I was using, the first one. And that was one just kind of like NanoBlogger, where you add that in there and it.
Yep.
And you're good to go. Everything's happy.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of blogging software out there. If you're running a Linux box and you're connected to a DSL or cable service, you could run your own blog.
Sure.
Provided they don't catch you if it's against your ISP's policy.
Right.
You just run it on a different port.
Just run it on a different port. Most ISPs now, anyway, because of the Microsoft viruses that have gone on, tend to block port 80. And I don't believe it's in an effort to make people not run a web server. I do believe that it's in an effort to curb that. What was that virus, anyway? The one that attacked the IIS websites through port 80 was like a worm or something like
NIMDA?
That. NIMDA?
Which one?
Yeah, I think it was NIMDA. That was the big one that did
what
that.
What virus was it? We could
there's one or two a week, I know. But I think it was NIMDA. And when the NIMDA came and went around, a lot of the ISPs that I know about simply blocked port 80, and they left it blocked. So like me, I run a little personal server for myself, and I run it on port 8080, and everything runs just fine.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't have a static IP, do you? You have a static IP until they change it every... And you call me up. It's like, I can't get my email anymore. I can't send email.
You know what? The only time my IP address changes is when I actually reset my modem for something. If I have to reboot or if I lose power or something like that, then it changes. But pretty much it's static. And I run like no IP, which gives me a domain name, you know, a dynamic domain name. So I can get to my server anytime. It's really cool.
You know, I'm looking at the chat server right now, and it reminds me back in the day when we first had the chat server running. We had a bunch of people connect. Remember the first time we had it accidentally set that only five people could connect at a time?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. All right. You know what? We'll pretty much hit the blogs. I'm pretty much done with that. We should take our intermission.
I think we should. We should take our break. And to those of you, I noticed on the IRC that a couple people are saying that they're having problems keeping a connection, or that the connection is skipping. And most likely, the problem that you're having with that is that you need to grab a new connection. Or how many people do we have connected to the stream right now, Dan?
Oh, wrong mouse. Hold on.
So, I noticed this with the Linux show the other day was having the same problem. A bunch of people were complaining about their streams going crazy.
Sick.
And they said just try and reconnect to it. And since, we may be reaching the limit of our bandwidth. So
No, we're only using... 1.016667 megabits per second.
Oh, we should be good then. If you notice that the show is skipping a little bit while we take our intermission, just try and drop out and connect to it again and see if it does a little bit better for you. So let us know.
I guess maybe that might be an impetus for me to switch to Easy Pages or
Easy Pages.
Yeah, ISP.
Oh.
Or something.
Or something.
I really like FastNet, but one of the problems is... And now speaking of the Linux show, a couple of weeks back, they were talking about people who are on cable modems having this issue occur, particularly with cable modem.
Certainly.
I forget what that exact problem is. But anyway, we're going to take a little intermission. We got a song here for you. Another one by Tangential Cold. Because, hey, they were nice enough to post on.
Yeah, man. They actually acknowledge us. They're cool.
This one's called Just 3 Days. It's a rock genre song. And we hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy playing it for you. And we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Thank you. Hold on a second. Damn MP3s.
He can't thank you until the MP3 plays.
There we go.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, we're back now. So we're trying to help some people with issues on the chat line. We're going to roll right into Linux video editing, old school style.
Old school.
And we'll explain what I mean by that in a couple of minutes. Linux video editing. It's been a 3-year endeavor, Link.
Oh, yeah.
It's been an uphill battle. And I believe that my first or second posting on my own personal blog deals with these topics. But I'll start at the beginning. A good 4 or 5 years ago, actually it was a little longer than that. It was exactly 4 years ago. I was still back in using the Windows just as much as I was using the Linux. Dark days, Link. Dark days. And I had an idea that if I had a video capture card, I can capture video of my daughter, who had just was in her first year, and I can put something together as a Christmas present.
Sure.
Great idea. So I stole my dad's camcorder, an older one, you know, Super 8. Nice camcorder. Still works functions fine. Mm-hmm. I got myself a Pinnacle Systems Studio TV PC, I think was the name of the card. And I used that in Windows. And except for the occasional complete system lockup, I was able to rip the video streams off the camcorder with relative ease, edit it in their software.
Right.
A little studio software. And then I put it in a program called Illuminatus, which was kind of a front end, the Visual Basic, made it really easy to create like a multimedia application. Really sweet. Designed this, had a bunch of little movie clips in it. It was really great. Well, as I shifted more focus towards the Linux end of things, I really wanted to get my capture card working in Linux and maybe eventually do some of the same things that I was doing in Windows and Linux. Now, Pinnacle Systems, the card I had was a Brooktree-based card, chipset, uses the BTTV driver.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things I did was to get XAWTV working. Now, you have my old capture card.
Yes, I do.
Actually, it's a nice card. It has an MPEG encoder on it and everything. But I remember trying to get this stuff running with a 2.2-something kernel. And it was a little tricky because the drivers just weren't as tweaked as they are now in the 2.4 and upcoming 2.6.
This is using the old V4L drivers, right?
Yeah, in the 2.2 series. So you had the occasional things not working properly or whatever. But XAWTV, over the years, has performed really nicely. And, you know, I get wonderful stream. I can go pretty much full screen. It looks nice. It works really well. The sound quality coming through is great. Have it connected right up into my cable, you know, from my cable. And XAWTV has a capability to record the stream. So you might think, hey, wow, this is great. But I've never been able to get a decent recording off of XAWTV. You always end up having a little bit of jittery frames, dropped frames, audio gets out of sync, stuff like that. And once you record a stream off of XAWTV, you're coming in at an AVI file, I believe it is. You really can't do anything with that.
Right.
You just get a file that you can't edit, you can't manipulate. So I really wanted to get something from, you know, like I was doing back in the Windows days going. And starting back in the early times of the research, two applications stuck out, Main Actor and Broadcast 2000. Now, each of these programs had a lot of pros for them, a lot of wonderful praise, how wonderful these programs are, but they had some serious downsides. Now, Main Actor worked pretty well, except it cost, at the time, $99.
Right.
So it's a little out of my price for it. Well, at the time, I didn't want to pay for it. So. But what's interesting with Main Actor...
It's the free software movement we're talking about here.
With Main Actor, I was able to rip a video stream off of my TV card, and the audio was synced perfectly with it.
Mm-hmm.
The downside was the video stream that you ripped, you really couldn't do much with it. If you wanted to edit it, you can put it through their editing process, which was a nice little graphical editor. But you had a watermark that was placed on it. So all your videos had Main Actor watermark on it unless you actually paid for the software. Then comes Broadcast 2000. That thing was a bugger to install. I could never get it to compile. It had so many dependencies and libraries and everything. It was such a pain to install. Finally, I switched over to doing the...
Didn't they have Broadcast 2000? I remember when we were first working on this and talking about Broadcast 2000. Didn't they have like a Linux... It was either a Linux magazine or a Linux journal that like damn near the whole magazine was trying to get Broadcast 2000 to work on it or something like that?
So yeah, I remember an article about that.
Just like a step-by-step, it was like 30 pages or something.
That's kind of the hook. Every couple of months, you get one of these articles, and then it's right back into the Linux video editing. Now, Broadcast 2000, I finally got it to run by doing the taking the RPM, converting it into a Slackware package, and running it. And I had, again, problems with the audio syncing up with the video. I had other problems, too, but in a nutshell, it was a little choppy. Now, if you read the requirements, and we're talking a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, they were talking about a gigahertz processor or almost cutting-edge processors to run this software. And I'm talking AMD K6400, K6300 just wasn't going to cut it for their requirements. So needless to say, it got shelved for a couple of months until I decided to come back to it again. Right. And on my next go-around, I found this wonderful utility called MJPEG Tools. This is completely command-line driven. Allows you to rip streams off of your capture card. You can convert them into an AVI file. If you have the right plugins, you can convert it into a QuickTime movie. And then there's another format. I forget exactly what it was. But you had three choices there. You had to do some funky command lines to get it to rip off the Brooktree-based cards. But the capture was really nice. The audio was pretty much in sync. And you can get a decent medium-sized capture. But again, you're stuck with the format of you get it into an AVI or a QuickTime. You really have no way to edit these things. Well, enter a program called Linux Video Studio, which was supposed to be a graphical front end to support MJPEG tools. And it would allow you to have a view screen, capture the video off the view screen, and then you put it through their linear editor or nonlinear editor, and you could do different effects and whatever to it. And I thought, wow, this is great. This is exactly what I'm looking for. So I finally got this thing compiled, and I started it up. And you know what wouldn't work? When I started it up, it would not display the actual video coming. Well, it would display the video coming in, but when I tried to record, it would not record. And I found out why. And this is a pain. But apparently, the BTTV driver, the Brooktree driver, doesn't support multiple streams. So technically, what was happening was Linux Video Studio was pulling the stream in and playing it, and then it would call AMJPEG tools to record that stream, but it couldn't split it. It wouldn't allow them to do it, so you couldn't actually use that utility. So then you're stuck because you're thinking, wow, if I can only pull it in some way and get it in this application, I can edit it. But there was no way to pull it in outside of the application and then bring it back in. So I was kind of bummed out about that. I just messed around with that for a couple of weeks. It was infuriating when I finally learned that you couldn't do the multiple streams through the developers of Linux Video Studio. Well, that brings us closer to why we're calling this old school. There are MJPEG cards available that allow you to use more sophisticated features, would allow you to pull in multiple streams at one time, have better encoding and decoding. Now, I went looking and said, hey, well, maybe I need to get myself an MJPEG card. Well, they run, I think, $200 just for the most basic one. So, again, something's like way out of my price range.
Right.
Expensive stuff. I can't afford that. So it's still kind of bummed. And I let it slide by for a while and then picked it up again a few months ago. And it was right after Cinelera had been released in non-beta form. Now, Cinelera is the update to Broadcast 2000. Supposed to be a wonderful application, but again, I thought Broadcast 2000 requirements were kind of hefty. Cinelera recommends a dual Athlon-based system.
Right.
And the K6300 is just not cutting it there. And I was able to get some streams off, but again, choppy video, unsynced sound. I was able to use the MJPEG tools adequately, but again, you're talking ripping it from the command line, you know, capturing the stream, and you really can't edit it in any way, and all you get is, you know, your video.
Right.
Some other tools that were out available, FFmpeg and FFTV. You remember when I first started playing around with FFmpeg?
Right.
It wasn't working on Linux, but I can get it to work really well in NetBSD.
NetBSD, yep.
But then through NetBSD, I really couldn't do anything with it. Pull it over to the Linux, and you know, still technically couldn't do anything with it. And I kind of left it at that. And now I got an iBook. And iBook has iMovie, which is great. But guess what, Link? Guess what I can't do? I can't capture the damn video. And why? And this is why
I can't
capture
video
school.
On the iBook?
Well, I'll tell you why I can't capture. I have an old camera. It's analog.
Oh, yes.
Comes in.
Okay.
A lot of the stuff out there now is basically digital. It seems that in the Linux world, went straight for the cutting-edge professional tools. That person who just goes out to the show or down to Best Buy and buys themselves a Hoppage Win TV card, which I did a few years ago.
Right.
Because I thought, well, maybe if I got another card, because I heard so much about the Hoppage cards, all this stuff would magically work. Well, it didn't make much of a difference. But if you spend the money, the $200+ to get these more professional cards, you can start doing some of this stuff. But, I didn't want to do professional level stuff. I'd love to do professional level stuff, but realistically, I'm down there, you know, the guy who wants to just shoot movies of his kids and hand them out to people for Christmas presents. So there really wasn't a solution there for me. And
one
now that I got
people.
The iBook and iMovie, what?
One of those people.
One of those people. Yeah, and so you got the iBook. I had all the tools I needed to edit video, but there's just no way to get it in. And
because you need FireWire.
Well, that doesn't matter. You can't plug a FireWire cable into it. You need a digital video camcorder.
Oh,
digital
man.
Camcorder, which kind of bites. So I started looking around. Now, I can get a conversion device. Pinnacle Systems makes it on the Dazzle product line, where you can plug your analog camera in and pull the stream off of there. But that thing runs like $300, at which point I could just buy...
You're $100 away from buying a digital
camcorder with a FireWire cable and have it all set up. So what stinks about it right now is there's really no way that I can see of getting the video in easily to be able to edit it. Now, I found a really kludgy way of doing it. And it's such a pain in the butt, it's almost not even worth it. I can pull a QuickTime stream off of the TV tuner card with the MJPEG tools. Now, granted, I can't see what I'm doing at the same time.
It's just grab and run, right?
Just press the play button on the camcorder or whatever, and you just hope it all captures. I can take that QuickTime stream then and copy it over to my iBook and pull it into iMovie, and then I can edit it and, you know, create a DVD out of it. But it's such a hassle, and then when I switched over to the ALSA drivers, the MJPEG tools didn't work right, and it's a nightmare. It makes you want to cry. So that's why, you know, I've titled this section kind of old school, because if you're dealing with older camcorders, a non-digital camcorder, and you have one of these cheap, under $100 TV tuner cards, man, best of luck to you. I hope it works, but in 3 years, I have not gotten anything close to what I was able to do in Windows, and it's kind of sad. I mean, unless I'm going to shell out big bucks, because Main Actor isn't $100 anymore. Right. Now it's $199, I think. And again, at that point, I might as well just buy a digital camcorder.
There are some other options, though. I mean, if you're really dead interested in doing this, one of the options is, of course, go back and use Windows again.
That's not an option.
Which is not an option. I know it's not an option for you. It's not an option for me either. The other ones that I have in mind are, again, we've gone over this whole thing that I'm a huge geek and I collect all kinds of computer equipment. I happen to have some SGI equipment at home, which you can get at a reasonable price now if you look around. And if you get, you know, say an Indy or something like that with some decent memory in it, you can grab video and pull it in, you know, off of analog video source, pull it in and edit it up and you know, send it out on file, and it looks really nice. The only problem is It's really, really slow. It's like so incredibly slow doing it on my indie. I can, however, pull stuff in on my indie and then copy it over to my Octane and run it a little faster. Or the other alternative is, and this really is a good alternative, and there's a lot of these floating around. They have these, you can find old Macintoshes around. With the, you know, the old Macintoshes, like the 8500, 8600 series, 9500, 9600, right. They have the AV option, the AV card in it. Okay. That'll take a composite input. And Macintosh has some video editing software. You can pull the stuff in, do the use composite input, make it into a what's a QuickTime file, edit it up, and do your thing. It probably costs you a little bit to find the right software for it. They might have some freeware or shareware types of software for something like that, though, at a reasonable amount of money. And then, you know, you're not using Unix to do it, but you're not using Microsoft either. So, you know.
Alan's chomping at the bit to chime in here.
Do it, Alan.
eBay for all your Macintosh needs.
eBay for all your Mac needs.
Yeah, I have a handful of Macs around here. I could probably maybe cobble something like that together.
You should check them out. See if you have one with that video option on there.
I know I don't have one with the video option. I'd have to get it. But then, you know, I keep thinking to myself, if I'm going to invest any kind of money in this, I want to invest it in a digital camera.
Right.
Because Patrick got himself a digital camera, and he's talking about Kino. And I remember when Kino first came out, I grabbed that thing up and I installed it. But alas, it looked great. No digital camcorder. So it didn't do me any good. But man, that's my goal for the next year and a half, is to get a digital camcorder so I can use Kino. And yeah. Patrick, hopefully you'll start using Kino very shortly, and we'd like to hear your feedback.
I think that we should invite Patrick to come and do a segment on one of these tech shows with his experiences that he's having doing his, because he's got all this. Patrick is like a really, 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 really rich guy, and he loves to spread his money around, and he's got all this fantastic brand new equipment. And I know he's just dying to come on a tech show segment and tell us all about how it works with Linux. Right, Patrick?
Hey, did you see that personal post to us where he said he's going to buy us a digital camcorder?
Oh, yeah.
Man, what a nice guy. But hopefully, you know, Patrick and anybody else out there who manages to listen, if you have any comments, experience with digital video capturing, editing, please send it to the tech show at thelinuxlink.net is our email address. We'd love to hear about it. But I really look forward to seeing what Patrick gets in the very near future. And maybe we'll see some videos of his new child on the way in a couple of weeks. And congratulations for that, Patrick.
Definitely.
Now, you know, other things that we also looked into with regards to video captures, I know you were trying to set up. Yeah, I know what time it is. We run over every week. We only get just a couple more minutes and we'll be good. But you were talking about setting up your own little personal TiVo. But we had problems with the capture card on that.
Well, yeah, that's what it was. I mean, we started this whole thing out, and your thing was you wanted to make videos of your daughter. And I wanted to try and do the same thing and do the little TiVo thing. And I, you know, you got way, way farther than I did. I never got anywhere near what you... My whole thing was I finally gave up trying to do it on the open source end, and I went and plugged stuff into my SGI Indie and tried it there. And although that does work, it's way, way slower than I would like it to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I do have a Mac myself that I could play with and see if that stuff worked. And I probably should do that just for giggles, you know? And then I would have something probably pertinent to add at one point in time.
All right. We're probably going to have to wrap it up for this week. It's already 10 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
We'll go after 10. We've hit our hour.
Once you get us going, we just can't stop, man. It's like a can of Pringles or something.
But we got a whole bunch of people in the chat room. We got people listening. And Mellophone is talking about Myth TV. And if I'm not mistaken, that's a fairly new...
It's one of those
TiVo
projects.
Yeah, that's right. There was a
it's a free TiVo type clone.
Yeah, and supposedly, it's supposed to be really, really good.
I think you need some horsepower behind it.
Yeah, you probably do. I don't know if you're going to end up running something like that on a 400 megahertz machine, but
I don't think so either. I think about popping my one of 486s that are laid around.
You're talking two gigahertz with some serious RAM and some big hard disk.
Doesn't it also require a fairly speedy hard drive?
I think. But you have to understand if they're doing a TiVo kind of thing or a PVR project,
right?
You want to save this stuff on your hard disk. So you don't want some clunky old 1 gig hard drive. You really need to have a nice 7200 RPM plus, you know, 20, 30, 40 gig drive. You can get away with IDE. I wouldn't go any less than 7200 RPM.
I don't have that. No way.
Well, if you get the bigger drives, like the 20, 30, 40 gig drives and up, they're usually 7200 RPM drives. You always notice a little warning label. They run a little bit hotter than the 5200 RPM.
Yeah.
Or you could go, you know, you could go SCSI. SCSI's always good for stuff like that. However,
good for burning out your wallet.
Yeah, buying a SCSI drive that's like 40 gigs is really going to set you back a little bit. But yeah, I would say, you know, a couple gigahertz machine, gig of RAM. 40 gig drive, you could set yourself up a nice little PVR.
I was tempted to look into buying one of those cheapy PCs at Walmart, but they just don't look like they're going to cut it for what I'd want to do.
Well, they're supposed to be what? More than a gigahertz, right?
Yeah, but they don't have a lot of expansion capabilities. I mean, I think they only have like one PCI slot or something.
Hey, as long as it works, man.
Well, no, but that's great. But I don't think it's going
to... $200 or less.
I've got an old e-machine. Actually, I've got two of them that have been running for like 3 years straight. I never had a problem. I had one power supply go on me. I just slapped another old power supply in there. Never had a problem since.
Well, you only have one PCI slot in that thing, though?
I would love to have one, but... two PCI slots and one IDE, I believe, is what's in there. But with, like, it's one of them
IDE.
Is like shared. Not
you
IDE,
mean ISA.
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 I'm sorry about that. Yeah. But one of them is like shared, so you can't use all three slots. You know, you can't use the one and the two PCIs.
Right.
One PCI slot is sort of like shared with the IDE, or the ISA, excuse me. So, but I mean, for what I've used it for, it works fine.
Yeah, like I said, the only thing holding me back is the lack of expansion.
Right.
You know, I pull out all my stuff out
of
there.
The only thing that's holding me back is like the lack of money in my wallet.
Well, yeah, aside from that, I guess
that's
always
a big one. Yes.
I look at my wallet these days, like all I find are dead moths. You know, they're not even living anymore.
So we're gonna wrap it up this week. Do you like to say your goodbyes, Link?
We maybe should do that. Goodbye and good night, everybody. And we just want to thank you again for listening to our sixth episode, our Halloween special, premiere Halloween edition of the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yes, and this is our final broadcast for October.
For October,
we'll
that's right.
We'll be back again in November.
We'll be back in November.
A week away. Was that November 2nd?
Actually, is it?
31st month. Yeah, I think it is November 2nd.
If
it is the 29th, isn't it? Is today the 29th?
It'll be November 4th.
November 4th.
November 5th.
November 5th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of Tuesday. Oh, man, we got a lug meeting coming up soon. We already talked about that. Alan, would you like to say goodbye? Chomping at the bit again?
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and that's Alan. The third member of, or the first member, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, right.
if you talk to him or his friends. Appreciate you listening. We're going to close with our usual theme. And hopefully we'll see you all next week. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Pulling up Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show.